Live from a fan boat in the Everglades, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred, hard-hitting discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned referee, honored herpetologist, retired reptile rodeo clown, and a man who once saved Hugh Hefner from an embarrassing situation, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, and inventor of the Double Stuffed Oreo, also the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest, and leastest, sculptor, water skier, the six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who could crack walnuts in his cubital falsa, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Okay, before you say whatever you're about to say, if you had invented the double stuffed Oreo, would you want that on your tombstone?
Well, heck yes.
My tombstone would be a big, giant double stuffed Oreo.
Okay, what if you did a couple of things? What if you're like, who's the guy that did Jerry Mahoney and Knucklehead Smith?
Walter Winchell?
Walter Winchell. Also invented, like, the artificial heart.
No, he didn't. That was Charles Lindbergh.
Walter Winchell. Any event.
Here we go.
If you did both of those things.
Yeah, but Charles Lindbergh invented a better one.
If you were... Well, why would Walter Winchell invent a worse one? He came later. Yeah, smart guy. My question is, you've made Knucklehead Smith the doll and talk to him and Jerry Mahoney. And you've also invented, like, the artificial heart.
Mm-hmm.
Which of those two things you put on your tombstone? You can only have one.
When did that become a rule?
I just made it.
I'm going to go with Jerry Mahoney. More people probably, you know, associating with that than with the artificial heart.
I think you mean Paul Winchell, don't you?
Yeah. Walter Winchell was like he's like a news journalist.
No, you're right. Paul Winchell.
Yeah. So did you look up, did he invent the artificial heart?
It's between him and Vladimir Demikov.
Huh? How about that?
Yeah.
You're a ventriloquist, and you also invent the artificial heart.
And then Dr. Robert Jarvik copied his
Dr.
ideas.
Dr. Robert.
So.
Right. Okay, so what were you about to say when you had
your Beatles song.
When you had your finger out?
Which one?
This one.
I wanted to set that up.
I was going to ask about the embarrassing moment that Greg saved.
Oh, Hugh Hefner from.
Hugh Hefner from.
Yeah, we've never really discussed that.
What the hell are you talking about?
In that opening.
In the intro, it says you once saved Hugh Hefner from an embarrassing situation. Hugh Hefner, of course, founded the Playboy in Empire.
Just let me tell you this.
And what would possibly embarrass him?
He couldn't perform. Let's just say it that way. And we just leave it at that.
So you stepped in.
Somebody had to.
Wow. Well, I have a much greater appreciation for you, Greg.
Thank you. I'm waiting for Alex's comment.
All okay. right. I'm just a little disturbed by it. Okay. Another question. On the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Podcast.
Episode 40.
Where's episode 42? Four. But for those of
43,
you...
43, aren't we?
43 was the Bayou Slam previous episode. We're at 44, which is a hold called the Crucifix.
Ooh.
Now, I've been watching MMA, mixed martial arts,
yeah,
from time to time, and they actually use the crucifix there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's a submission hold. Looks like it would hurt.
Like you're in a pretzel. Like you've tied him up in a pretzel shape.
Show that to me. Whoa. Yeah, that's a.
Look at the grin on the gator's face.
He was having fun with that.
Like
he's teasing him.
Obviously, once you get someone in the crucifix, game over, right?
But the other thing that I hope that our followers have noticed is the effort that's going into the episode cartoons.
Very good job, Rick.
They're colored now.
Yeah.
And have borders.
Yeah. Good job.
Prior to that, we were a podcast without borders.
Wow.
Okay. Topic. I got a topic for you.
That was
topic
strange.
I want to talk about is pets.
I don't want to talk about that.
I don't care what you want to talk about. I'm going to start you off easy.
Okay.
The most popular pet in the, according to the American Veterinary and Medical Association.
Dog.
Monkey.
No, it's not monkey. Alan's got its dogs. Obviously dogs and then followed up
he
with cats.
He took my answer.
Okay, after dogs and cats, then.
Oh, snakes.
Bird.
Birds are fourth.
Goldfish.
Goldfish are third. I just don't get it.
A fish?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is the connection to a fish?
Yeah,
and they're in a totally different environment than we are.
It's like an ornament. It's not really a pet.
Yeah, how do you relate to a fish at all?
He loves me, but yeah. He loves me. They don't even have memory, do they?
I mean, do you take it? You could.
Do they have feelings? Do
you could
feel pain?
You could to you know, like have contact with the fish. You could fill your mouth with water, put the goldfish in there, let it swim around a little bit, and then spit it back into its tank.
When Bugs Bunny was gonna have to kiss the Slobovian rabbit,
yeah,
then he pulled the fish out of the tank and smushed it up against her face, didn't he?
Well, she had her eyes closed, and then the fish does what? Goes back into its little
Harry Carey.
Little fishbowl, and it's over.
Yeah, they clip that now.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
And then after the birds and thing, when we have reptiles, they just generally lump all the reptiles in together. There.
Snakes, lizards.
Like snakes and lizards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're cuddly.
Yee-hee-hee.
A snake cuddle right up to you. Around your neck.
I'm cruising through these till I get to the better category.
Okay.
And rabbits.
Okay,
you know my question is: if you're going to eat it, is it really a pet?
Well, I don't think every rabbit gets eaten.
Just
some people actually keep a rabbit for a pet
until
they're hungry.
Okay, yeah, poultry.
I'll tell you what,
it says as unlikely as it seems, poultry, chicken are popular pet choices.
And well, I don't know about pets, but in town, I'm seeing a lot more chickens on the. In the backyard.
Because they'll lay eggs.
Well, that, yeah. But the roosters.
I think that some of your exotic breeds have become popular for people to just to have and show them off. You know, like those kinds that have the fluffy feet and stuff like that.
But again, does any bird really actually love you?
No.
Like a parakeet or?
They think only of themselves.
Hamsters?
No.
I think a hamster can be friendly, I think.
And guinea pigs, you know, when you talk about the same thing pretty much. One's bigger than the other, but they're pretty much the same thing.
Did you know that...
guinea pig could eat a lot of hamsters.
Guinea pig is like a delicacy in Peru. It's like the national dish.
Really?
You go to a restaurant and they'll have a pen full of guinea pigs.
And you pick the one out.
You pick out the one.
Just like a lobster.
And they'll stun it, skin it, cook it, and provide it to you right there.
Wow.
And then number 10 was ferrets.
I don't see that at all.
Oh, man.
Now, did you know that, like, guinea pigs, hamsters, ferrets are, like, illegal to own in, like, California and Hawaii?
Because they're afraid they're going to get loose and
indigenous era invasive species that they let loose on these populations. Like they're worse than people.
It's like the snake.
It's like those mule deer on Catalina Island.
Or the
exactly.
Boa constrictors in Florida.
Oh, in the Glades, yeah.
Now, here's a category.
And you know, they go out and hunt those things?
They have contests.
Exactly.
I know.
And,
they describe how they hunt them at night. And it's the best time to go after them.
Now, there's hunting a creature that could kill you.
What's that?
Oh,
those giant boas down in the Glades, man.
Or gator.
Or gator.
Oh, yeah.
But I think these boas are killing gators.
They are.
They're eating, like, young gators.
Yep.
Yeah, That seems
it's
like
upsetting the balance. That could be a problem for us.
Trying to find a gator to wrestle.
So here I have a list of the top 18 exotic pets.
Exotic pets.
All right.
Why it started at 18, I do not know, but I'm going to tell you what they are.
Or why you stopped at 18.
Yeah, one is a serval, or number 18 is a serval. Do you know what a serval is?
A serval?
Yeah.
A serval is like a jungle cat.
Yes, it is. It's a wild cat that looks like a mix between a leopard and a lynx.
I'm very impressed.
Apparently people keep the things as...
Yeah.
Did you know that? Here in the United States?
People kept them?
Well, I think you have to have a license for them because they're an imported exotic creature.
Yeah. Why would you want something like that in the house? How's that going to ever end well?
Who's making the magician's jacket?
I don't think... You know, he's never hurt anyone before.
Well, they're not very big.
Neither are babies.
It's a small wild cat. living in your living room.
It could still do damage.
Okay, the next one I have is a fennec fox.
Okay.
Yeah, aren't they they're in the fox family, but they're like
that he knows
by the pharmacy.
But they're
like big ears,
like ornate looking fox.
Yes, that is correct. They're
not like a fox that you and I think of.
They come from the Sahara Desert,
really,
and they hunt at night, and that's why their ears are so much bigger because they are listening for the slightest sound.
What can you possibly hunt in the Sahara Desert? What
rats.
Keeps them alive?
Mice.
I'll bet they were glad to be shipped to America.
Rodents, yeah. Rodents, mostly.
Yeah. Okay. A hyacinth macaw.
So that's a bird.
They're colorful, aren't they?
Yeah, very.
It's blue.
Yeah.
Really? I thought they
bright,
were.
Bright blue. Like a Norwegian blue.
I thought they were multicolored.
No, not the hyacinth macaw.
Okay.
You're talking about your
multicolored run of the mill macaw.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing about these blue parrots. Lived to be 50 years.
50-year-old bird.
You get one.
It's going to outlive you.
Yeah. At this point for you.
I'm hoping not.
I wouldn't waste my money on one, Greg.
I don't think so. The charts aren't
And they can
favor.
They can run anywhere from $500 to $10,000. I guess depending on how blue they are. You get one.
Or how old they are.
This is true.
Yeah, but you get one that's like...
selling a 45-year-old macaw.
You're not going to pop out $10,000 for him.
Greg would be looking for.
Number 15 is porcupines.
Who was that?
Wow. Why in the hell would you have that?
It says you must be able to read body language if you own a porcupine. Like, you know, you don't want to. you know what I mean. He's angry.
That sounds like a happy porcupine to me.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm going to have to cut a piece.
That's
okay,
what he said.
So the porcupine is, you have to be able to read that he's upset.
Uh-huh.
So he doesn't like throw needles at you.
Right. Why? Okay.
Hey, do they?
Okay.
So you bring home a pet for your kid.
Porcupines do not project quills.
No matter how many cartoons you've seen.
They launch them.
Like
they fling them with their tail, man.
I don't think they do.
Well, you're wrong. Let's see. What else? What's the next one?
Wait a minute. So people have porcupines in their house?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can understand that. They're, you got to understand.
I walk through your house at night, there could be a porcupine there?
This list is based on the notion that people are crazy.
Oh, that's a given. Okay.
Egyptian tortoise. And they live to be 100 years old. How do they know this?
Definitely don't want those.
Because on their shell... Each year creates another layer on the sections of their shell.
What, like a tree?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe you.
That's a fact. Man, go pick up a box turtle someday.
You can tell how old a box turtle is. I hand you a box turtle, you say, he's 17 years old.
Count him off.
He's just frisky.
They can be much more than 17 years old.
100 years old. So that, you know, you croak, and in your will it says, give the tortoise to Julia.
Okay.
And then she puts
it to her
give will.
It to her children.
Yeah.
And her children's children.
Yeah. Until finally someone eats it.
Who wants to eat a 100-year-old turtle, for Christ's sake?
A little tough.
Yeah, tenderize it. You know, when they make that turtle soup up at Meppen, you know,
they got
a little town across the river from where we live here.
Or, you know, some of our international friends are thinking of their hometown of Meppen in the Netherlands.
Yeah, okay. But when they make turtle soup, they have no idea how old the turtles are. I guarantee you nobody ages or checks their age.
Okay, can I interject something here?
Yeah.
I guarantee that you don't have the slightest idea of how turtle soup is made.
I second
and
that.
And you are both 100% wrong because I've helped make turtle soup.
Where?
At Batchtown at the KC Hall south of Hardin. Not Batchtown.
He walked out of there and the people were all like, he thinks he was making turtle soup.
I watched it.
States are turning, man.
I watched him cut the vegetables and stuff up and dump the turtle meat in, and I stirred it.
Wait.
I walked around that pot stirring that turtle soup
for
hours.
Did you actually see turtle meat, or was that chicken?
It was turtle meat.
How you know?
Yeah.
It was a big box that said turtle meat.
Did you watch him butcher the turtle?
They butchered him.
Uh-huh. Did you watch it?
Yes.
That thumping sound is Rick's nose hitting the microphone.
Pinocchio
right
coming in.
Yeah, that's Greg.
No.
It doesn't have anything to do with him lying. Okay, the next one is...
You can hit him, Brad. I know. Can hit him.
He told me to shut up earlier today.
I did.
How about a capybara?
A capybara is the largest rodent on the planet.
That is 100% right.
He knows his rodents.
And they are a pest.
Kids, I know you wanted a puppy.
But here you are with your giant rat.
Honey, I brought the world's largest rodent home for the kids to have as a pet. It says, though, that they're actually very friendly.
Don't have to worry about a pet door in the door to where they'll chew their own out.
No, a giant hole in the wall.
Forget about having wooden furniture in the house.
No, you feed them Timothy hay.
Uh-huh.
Is what they eat.
And they'll eat hay.
Yeah.
Timothy.
Yeah, Timothy.
Yeah.
Hey.
Timothy.
All right. Next one's a Mississippi map turtle. Shell looks like a map.
I got a lot of turtles going on.
Yeah. I should just say
turtles. All turtles going here together. Llama, number 11.
There's a few llama farms, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's it. Let's, you know, I haven't seen the horse on these things or a mule. You know, are those really pets if you can work them?
What?
If you have a horse, you know, and he pulls your wagon or you ride him.
Okay, that's where you just stepped over the line. If you just have it out there and you feed it and you pet it and you give it a name and stuff, it's a pet.
And tie ribbons in its
But you start making it pull a sled, you know, with bricks on it and stuff, then it's a working animal.
Okay, and it's not a pet.
No longer a pet. And if you, anything that you eat is not a pet.
Like when we had those pet pigs.
They weren't a pet.
We call them
pets. We were lying to them.
But they had names.
They had names.
Pickles and Blossom.
But you can name stuff that you're going to eat eventually.
I named this one Hamburger.
You know, I'll tell you.
Hot dog.
Creatures that have some of the most interesting names are bulls, like these bull riding competitions. And they'll give every one of these bulls a fantastic name.
Yeah, they do. You're right.
Like Steamroller.
Yeah.
Heart Stomper.
Well, you know, they
that's
get
pretty good.
The bull riders get points based on how mean the animal is.
Oh, yeah, like how often it's right.
You know, if you don't want to pop out and say, hey, you drew Buttercup tonight.
You
but
drew
he's the worst one.
Fluffy. Oh, well, all right.
Not going to get many points off this bull.
Next one's a red-eyed skink.
A red-eyed skink. A skink is a classification of its own. Somewhere between a snake and a lizard.
Ew.
And guess what it has?
It's like a tiny crocodile.
Guess what it has two of?
Eyes. Blessed. It's like a tiny crocodile.
Oh, blessed.
Not really.
Yeah, well, the red-eyed skink is.
Okay. And a skink's a skink. It's a classification
it says
of its own.
It says it's a favorite pet of,
I don't know where
of herpetologists.
The distinction comes with kingdom, phylum, class, order, genus, species, okay. But somewhere along the line. All right,
then we get a chinchilla.
Chinchilla.
Okay, chinchillas, are they really pets or are you raised? I think the same rule applies. If you just pet it and like hold it and let it sit in your lap until it dies, right, it's pet. But if at some point you're going to skin it, it's not.
it becomes commercial then.
What if it's your pet and you have it skinned and stuffed?
Let me ask this. Is it a pet if it's in a cage? If it's truly a pet, it runs free in your house,
My
right?
dogs are upstairs in their cage at night.
Okay, good idea. Yeah, but your dogs.
Yeah, they need to be caged. But no,
so
you can have
kids.
Like birds.
Fall asleep at night, they'll eat your face off.
Yeah. Birds, you got them in cages. So
they belong in cages.
Then we've got a red-footed tortoise. You see, I think they've got some more turtles.
That ain't right.
Yeah,
you got them going on.
Are we
going
to go with every individual bird?
Well, we got number seven is a milk snake.
Snake's a snake, man.
Yeah.
Milk snake looks like a coral snake.
I think that's right.
Looks just like a coral snake.
But which colors touch
red on
which.
Yellow kills a fella.
Right.
Whatever the hell that means. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, the bands of yellow and red. Red on yellow kills a fellow, yeah.
It makes a big
difference.
Whereas
on a milk snake, the red and yellow don't touch each other.
Right.
Okay.
There's a black in between that.
Okay. But again, a snake is a pet. You know, do you pet it? Does it really...
Do you love it?
Does it get any sort of emotions involved with a snake?
And like just its head start bobbing up and down like it's all happy.
Like he's all excited. Like when those those dachshunds greet you when you walked in here.
Like
they're just like it's like you're the most exciting thing that's ever happened in their lives.
You're the hero owner.
You know, if you walked,
he's back.
If you walked in here and a bunch of snakes slithered into the kitchen and just started flipping around like crazy, wouldn't make you feel good, would it?
It'd make me feel.
What are you doing here? Why is there snakes in the kitchen?
Yeah. So, snakes down here.
See, then
come and get them.
Here's another turtle, the yellow-bellied slider.
That sounds like some good hamburger.
That's slider. Jackie had a. Those are those little water turtles.
Those are the ones that you went on vacation and forgot about, and they were floating when you got home?
No, they died in a fire.
Oh.
Down in.
Turtle soup.
It was an insurance issue, Greg.
Are they covered?
You know, the interesting thing, she had those turtles went in that tank for 10, 15 years.
Long time. Was it Cuff and Link?
Yeah. No, I don't know what they were called.
That was Rocky's
turtles. It was Shelly and I can't remember the other one's name. But it's illegal to sell turtles that are...
Across the state line.
For less than 4 inches in diameter.
Okay.
I guarantee you these...
Wait, it's illegal to sell them less than?
More than. They have to, be at least 4 inches.
Before you can sell them.
Yeah.
You can't sell a baby turtle?
You can't sell those little ones. Like the ones we bought.
Okay.
You just go online type of thing, and the turtle comes in the mail in a box.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Alive.
Alive, yeah. And then you dump it in water. I mean, I'm guessing they ship it FedEx so that it comes quick. You know, that it's not taking, you know, two or three. Because turtles have to be in water, don't they?
No.
No, they don't.
They breathe air.
Water turtles like
the
water.
They still breathe air.
No, they still dry out.
They don't have gills, and they're not a fish.
Then the next one's a hedgehog.
Ooh. Hedgehog.
Interesting.
I tell you, a hedgehog kind of cute looking.
And they're also illegal to have, like in California and Hawaii. They do not want hedgehogs showing up. Okay, number four is a ball python.
That's just another what? Snake. No. Just say snake.
Yeah, but those are just those giant snakes that... You go to the zoo and look at them, and they're just like a clump of snake laying there, and they don't move or nothing. I mean, who says, oh, this is my, I love him, but I love him.
The only snake I really love is one that's wrapped around an exotic dancer.
Okay, number three is exotic dancers.
Now, that's the one I want.
These are exotic pets. I think next week's topic is going to be exotic dancing.
Okay.
Number three is a tarantula.
Why? Now we're into, well, I guess it's not a bug. It's arachnid.
I guess, but
it's a creepy thing.
Does it love you?
No.
Is there any way that has
shows
any
emotion.
Sort of emotion that,
there you go.
That it warms your soul? Oh, I'm sorry you failed on your math test today. Let me reassure you and make you feel better by crawling on your face while you're asleep.
I think that the Hindu population would disagree with you on this because I think they believe that you can be reincarnated as an insect along the way, and that the monks wipe their feet at the end of every day and pray because for all the insects that they may have inadvertently stepped on through the course of the day.
Okay, that's fine. But I guarantee you that when you come back as an insect, you don't have any feelings. It's not like you sit there and remember, boy, you know, I remember back when I was a dog.
Hey, is that Rick on the sidewalk?
Number two,
yeah,
is gecko.
All right.
Get out.
Yeah.
So gecko? It's
of exotic animals, yeah.
There you go.
You know, the only reason that they're even throwing that in there is because of the Geico gecko.
I think the Geico gecko made people buy the darn things.
Yeah, a lot.
Go to the pet store and say, I want the insurance thing. I never would have wanted a gecko.
They're the
before.
Thing that, like a lizard, but they can crawl across the ceiling on you.
What's that?
The gecko.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you go down to...
Are they in the lizard family? Or are they a subspecies?
Yeah, you go down to, like, Florida.
A gecko is a gecko, and a lizard is a lizard.
Or those tropical islands down there in the Caribbean, they're crawling all over.
That's iguanas.
Oh, same thing.
It is not the same thing.
The number one most popular lizard, it's a lizard, the bearded dragon.
Oh, man.
Do you know what that even is?
Yeah, they're like they look like an iguana.
Probably a breed of iguana.
Are those big things that on Johnny Quest, iguana?
But they were genetically altered.
Those were Komodo dragons.
There you go. Yeah.
No, they weren't. Well, they were made to look like Komodo dragons. They were some other smaller dragon that mad scientist, they're always mad.
Dr. Zinn?
Yeah, made him grow bigger.
Okay. Oh, that's right. He had like a ray or something that made him bigger. Yeah.
Always a ray on those things, too.
Yeah. Rays do a lot of work.
Accelerator.
You know, I hadn't watched that cartoon for a long time. We went, after we talked about Johnny Quest last time we were on here, I went and found that.
Okay, now wait a minute.
Did you see him cane the old, the dragon handler?
The dragon handler. And yeah, he beats him. You got this little bitty guy, evil scientist, beating this giant sumo wrestler with a little bitty stick.
Yeah. Until the end of it. I'm going to ruin it for everyone. At the end of it, the big sumo wrestler throws the mad scientist to the dragons.
There was always a certain level of justice on the Johnny Quest shows. But you got to be careful. They had an early set of Johnny Quest cartoons, and then there was a hiatus, and then they brought them back.
Yeah, there's no reason to watch those later ones.
There is no reason
to watch those
later.
The first one's by far
first one's
best.
Covered everything that he'd be covered. Yeah. But that big guy, the sumo wrestler guy, you know, like when he's being caned, like that, except when he's walking the dragons, then he giggles like a little girl.
Actually, that's pretty good.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Just kind of was that our intro today?
Disturbing that you know that. Huh?
Did we have that as our intro today? Or
yeah, on this Johnny Quest. On this one,
I think so, yeah.
Okay. My mind wonders.
So does mine.
That's just going to get worse, boys.
I tell you about it.
Yeah, but why are you even saying it? It doesn't matter.
Okay,
if your mind does wonder, then you don't care.
So monkeys weren't on this list, so I guess not that many people have monkeys.
I think that's a thing of the past. I think back in like the roaring 20s, it was like this status symbol to have one of those little organ grinder monkeys that climb around on you and stuff.
Yeah.
That was popular. Like you'll see a lot of them on the Three Stooges.
Yeah, monkeys caused a lot
Very
of trouble back
there.
Then.
And it's that same monkey that was causing trouble in the Indiana Jones movie, the first one.
Yeah.
Yep.
The one that died from eating poison dates.
Bad
dates, you're right.
Attaboy. No, I never get tired of hearing that.
Sorry, he was.
You need to go back to telling him to shut up.
I will. That'll come up.
I thought
behave himself
that was a real threshold moment for you.
So what constitutes a pet? We've talked about these pets, and you said some of them aren't pets. And what has to actually be the qualities of a pet?
Okay. I think that all domestic animals are broken down into three different categories. You have a true pet. That you would bring into your house.
It's useless for anything.
And you're not going to eat it, and you're not going to profit off of its hide.
You're just going to pour money into it for a few years.
Showing love at it.
And money.
So you got pets, you've got livestock, you know, like cows, pigs, sheep, you know,
goats. You get into those horses and
small pigs.
How about pot-bellied pig?
There you go. That's what I was talking about.
Well, if you keep it in your house and you love it, it's a pet.
And you don't ever end up eating it.
And you never eat it. And it lives out its life, and you bury it in the backyard and put a little tombstone up.
Like you do for the dog, yeah.
Yeah. And then the third category are beasts of burden. And that's where your horse and camel and
a lot of people think of the
donkeys
horses.
And llamas.
A lot of them think of the horses, loves them, though.
Yeah, but I mean, they're still not pets, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, but if you're sitting on his back and you're gouging it with sharp spurs.
He loves being ridden.
Yeah. Say something else about
it
that.
He loves having a bit in his mouth. That's torture.
Well, Black Beauty didn't care for that. Yeah, there's the answer right there. Black Beauty. Pet?
No, that was a working animal.
Have you read Black Beauty?
It was a horrible book. It's basically about all the horrible things that can happen to a horse happen in that book.
And it just gets worse and worse.
As it gets older and older.
I remember Gina.
Until its last walk to the glue factory.
My daughter Gina's like 26 years old. And if you ask her about this book, she'll say Black Beauty like was the most traumatizing story. Because I read stories to the kids when they were little. And I read Black Beauty. I'm going to read Black Beauty to them, you know. And I start reading Black Beauty. And it just gets worse and worse. I mean, to where just when you think
dad.
That, you just think
at
that,
night it's like, stop, Dad.
They come to your bed.
I said, you know, but he's going
to
be bought by someone better. You just watch. And every time that horse gets transferred, it's to some worse type of life that it has.
Right.
Until it, like you said, it ends up getting killed or died and sent to the glue factory.
Yeah, that's not a. Why would a guy write a book like that?
Don't know. I think he was depressed, like Mark Twain in his later years.
Whatever. We're out of time.
Really?
It's like our listeners at the end of these shows.
They're saying,
depressed.
Thank God.
Why did they do this show? Why did they do that?
It's too long.
It's just upsetting me. we'll be back next week.
I'll put a tag on the next set of shows that says, don't listen to right before you go to bed.
No. All right, Dan. I'm going to bed right now.
Me too.
Greg Gator.
Rick Gator.
I can't be somebody else.
This
Alligator.
The there you go. Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network, except no substitutes.